The first step is admitting that you have a problem. And if you don't want to admit it because inherently in the back of your head, I'm going to have to change, then you may not ever want to come forward and say, yes, there's a problem and this is where it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the latest episode of Strategy and the Virtual Controller, where we talk all things accounting technology, accounting business strategy, CAS, client accounting services, client accounting and advisory services, accounting processes, and where my co-host and I, we share the insights that we're picking up along the way from working with accounting firms, bookkeeping businesses around the world. My name is Damien Greathead, and I'm sitting in a sunny Sydney, Australia, and my co-host, Penny Breslin. Hey, where are you? Are you up in Wyoming or are you back down in San Diego?
No, well, I'm still in San Diego. They had a hellacious snowstorm in Wyoming. I won't probably get there until like the last week of April.
Well, last week of April, which will be after tax season. Although the funny thing is, Penny, that there is really no tax season anymore, is it? It's just a constant, I'll say a constant slog, but it's a year-round process or a year-round season these days, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we're already getting people filing extensions and getting ready to do that.
As it turns out, this episode, it's the 15th of March here in Australia. So that's one deadline down. But as you said, you've got folks already heading on extension. So yeah, it's one of those things that this idea of tax season, while we still give it a lot of attention, that the true reality is work. And the tax season is throughout the entire year rather than these March 15 and April 15 deadlines, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, surprisingly, when we first started this podcast, I said, well, I don't talk to anybody about coming on board as a new firm client after November 15th. Well, I can understand now why some people don't want to go work for accountants, because just this month alone, four firms have contacted us. Like, how fast can you start working? And it's not necessarily, some of it's tax work, but a lot of it's not. And it's because there is no slogan. There is no non-busy season. There is no, and then of course they're thinking, no matter how many times they hear it from the CPA, from David Leary and Blake Oliver, from everybody you can't hire, they still like, it's like, well, we tried.
It's still a surprise. Or we just lost somebody. Yeah.
So we just lost somebody. Yeah. And why did you lose that person? So what?
But the funny thing is the question is how quickly can you start? And I know some about your business, Penny, and the team in Chennai and Shamila and Namila. And my guess is that you actually do have the ability to scale up quite quickly because of the process, the technology, the way that you've structured the team and the way you use more than 270 apps within your accounting firm. So I don't think the issue is how fast can you get started. It's actually how fast can that firm get themselves ready? And I'd hazard a guess, if they don't have the processes, if they're not using the technology the right way, if they don't have workflow or using it, it's not how fast can Penny's team scale up. It's actually how fast can the inquiring firm actually get themselves ready to work with an offshore workforce in this 24-hour operating system. So I think it's less on you and more on these firms that are coming to you with staffing challenges.
Yeah, there was one that got all the way to the onboarding meeting. And at the end of it, I said, no. I said, I'm sorry. We can't do this. I said, it's busy. It's a crazy time of year. And this was like in January. I said, all this is going to do is be another failure. And I can see now why you failed with your prior efforts, and I don't want to be another one of your failures. And I said, come back to me when you've got these things lined up. I mean, they were supposed to bring on their main contact person for us. And she's like, I just found out about this yesterday. And it was like, we've been at this for a couple of weeks. And I just went, no, I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. Thanks, but no thanks. But call me later if you want. And if you're still interested and you really, really understand that Excel spreadsheets and CC'd emails are not going to cut it. They're just not. It's not working for you now. What makes you think it's going to work just because you're adding on another office on the other side? It's just not.
And how did they respond to that idea of, unfortunately, you're not ready to take on this process? Did they acknowledge it? And were they able to say, okay, we'll get these four things sorted out between now and June, and then we'll give you a call?
They acknowledged it and they said they were sorry, and we'll see. I don't know. They haven't contacted me back. I imagine that they're underwater right now.
Under the pump. Yeah, yeah.
But they would have been underwater if they had used us too, because they weren't ready, and there would have been a deluge of questions constantly going on from my team, because they had no process procedures. They had no methodology for tracking the work and where was it and who had it. And there was no like diagram on the football field at all. And it was more like a rugby game. And not that I like rugby, but I mean, you know what I mean? Where when they get into the big match in the middle and the teams all just push against each other. And it was just going to be worse if you added us into it, not better.
I was going to say, and I'm going to hazard a guess, again, not knowing anything about this prospective firm, probably used to working in four walls of their office and calling down hallways and knocking on doors to find out status updates and status reports.
And desktops.
Yeah, and desktops. And one of these interesting things that the problems that you have now and the challenges that you have now would only be further exacerbated by taking on an outsourcing process.
Yeah.
So you're still not solving the core problem of the business, which is this lack of process, this lack of technology adoption and proper implementation, are you?
Right. And there was one person who was using some of these newer apps who really wanted this to happen. And he told me, he's one of the partners, and he said, the other people just aren't on board. And the thing is, if they're not on board, I can't help you. I can't make that different for you.
Whether that's outsourcing, whether that's a new app, whether that's whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, you could use some of these apps and find out you don't really need us. Mm. You don't know that you need us because you haven't discovered where the problem, or I think some people have discovered where the problem is, but you haven't. Part of doing the first step is admitting that you have a problem. And if you don't want to admit it, because inherently in the back of your head, I'm going to have to change, then you may not ever want to come forward and say, yes, there's a problem and this is where it is, because you don't want to change the way you're doing this one thing that's causing the problem.
And so
because you're comfortable in that.
Yeah, and sort of interesting, like one of the buzzwords that we're hearing in the accounting space at the moment is transformative.
Yes, and that's how this got started. So,
let's talk about that because there are a lot of apps the vast majority of apps have the potential to transform the way that you do business, without a doubt. But it seems sort of interesting that we're very keen to utilize the technology to transform certain parts of our work, certain parts of our tasks. But I don't think, I think very few firms are actually transforming the way they do business and actually thinking about this idea of transformation as rather than just a very singular part of the bookkeeping process or a singular part of the advisory or tax preparation process, actually thinking about transformation and the use of technology and as a way of transforming the entire business. What do you think, Penny?
Yeah, I got into this conversation with a mutual friend of ours a couple weeks ago, and it reminded me of the story I told you about my granddaughter and the monarchs here in Leucadia, where I live. So about 15 years ago, there was a concerted effort around the people here in Leucadia to try to bring back the monarch butterflies. They were pretty much ubiquitous in this area for a long time, but their main source of food is a milkweed. And with all the building and everything that was going on and for various reasons, the milkweeds were not available and the monarchs were going away. They weren't able to breed. And so now during monarch season, you see people, they've got the milkweed, they've got they're kind of like cloth cages to protect the chrysalis. So one of my clients is a direct client, is a longtime friend of mine, and we do her QuickBooks for her. And she has them in around the outside building of her office, her location. And she gave me five of them when my granddaughter was visiting. And Ember was four, and my daughter was still pregnant with her baby. And for several days, we sat and we watched these chrysalises transform into butterflies. Mm-hmm. And Ember said, and that's what mommy's doing in her belly, because pretty soon her belly's going to transform into a baby. But the other thing was, we talked about to Ember about how in order for this population of monarchs to come back the way it has, and it's stunning when it happens around here. The amount of monarch butterflies is amazing. But it needed the community to make that concerted effort to support the transformation of these chrysalises safely and securely to produce the butterflies, because they were dying. Mm-hmm. And so now we have it back. But it's the same with, I think, a business. And when I was talking to our mutual friend, and he said, what could we do to help our clients utilize this app and better? And I said, well, what did they say to you that they need? He goes, they tell us it's transformative. And I go, well, that's the word. If it's transformative, why are they not taking that transformation that occurred, recognizing it, sitting down with the people that are telling them, this part of my job got better because of this app? And I know, because I work with some people who use this app, obviously, we do. And we know that oftentimes when an app is put into the process that we're using, it's not across the whole business, right? Because maybe this is a bookkeeping app and it has nothing to do with tax. Or maybe this is an internal app and has nothing to do with the clients. Or maybe it's an external app and has nothing to do with everybody in the office internally. But it's transformed your business. And regardless of whether or not it's being used in another portion of the firm, does the whole firm recognize that transformation? That chrysalis, when it transforms, that casing goes away and it changes and it becomes that butterfly. That little seed became a butterfly. That little tiny transformation over here and maybe making bookkeeping quicker and easier and has allowed you to transform the Duke Cats. It also does transform the tax division that's doing a corporate tax return, because they're no longer waiting for information. So even though they're not using the app, that damn app over here transformed your ability to get work done quicker. So recognizing that and recognizing that there's a change in process, there's a change in how people, it's affected the people in your company. That's something that I think would be discussed across the whole business, that, wow, this one little thing has cascaded into a series of developments that allowed that butterfly to occur. So that one little transformation. So now if we recognize that this one little app transformed not just this one aspect, but allowed all these other things to happen in a much more efficient manner, maybe we're going to do a couple of other things different. Maybe we're going to, one, let everybody use this transformative app in the bookkeeping division. Because some people go, well, I don't want to use it. I don't want to use it with my clients. My clients are in desktop and that doesn't work with desktop. Well, your clients are going to have to get out of desktop. Get over it.
Yeah.
So why don't you start learning what this other team is doing now instead of waiting like we always do until it's crisis moment and you have to do it. I got a call from a company in Wyoming. They were looking for some help. And I said, I think I can ask, I'm going to ask you some questions. And they told me they were in QuickBooks Desktop and he didn't know the version he was in. He had never looked at it. Their CPA only talks to them about taxes. And the bookkeeper they have, I said, can I ask you a delicate question? Why do you want to replace her? And he goes, I don't think that she's going to be able to handle what's going to come down in July when we're going to get this huge grant and I want to be ready for it. And I went, okay. I said, have you talked to your CPA about this change? Have you asked your CPA how they feel about the work that's being done? He goes, no, why would I do that? And I'm going, okay. I say, I would have told you because you have 2024 that you probably have another 3 years before you have to do anything with your desktop. But because you also have this huge thing happening in July, I would suggest that you convert from desktop to online.
But also, interestingly, why aren't you talking?
This one thing's going to transform their company.
And why aren't you talking to your accountant now, to your team now, to your trusted advisors and to your business now? Because I don't know, preparation for transformation and all of these change management, such a big thing that if, again, in my own sort of role, I'm sort of learning the communicate early is such an important part to get people on board, to get people ready. I'm quite comfortable operating in a state of flux, but part of my team, of my team is not. So how do you, it's also, I think, this idea of transformation and transformative software, you need an environment that nurtures it and embraces it. And I really like that Monarch story as well, because it couldn't have happened without a community to nurture that process, to come together, to understand the problem, to understand their role in how they could help solve it and come together for it. And to your point, what you just said, that right now it's an amazing thing to see. Do they hatch? They don't hatch. What do they do?
Well, they kind of do. They kind of like crawl out.
Emerge or
they
yeah.
emerge. They emerge, and it's fascinating.
But that couldn't have happened without the community to support it. And so if you think about your firm and technology adoption, and back to that original example, one partner's keen and the other two partners don't really buy into it, you're not going to be able to transform your business. And I think right now, accounting businesses need to be transformed, need to evolve so as to continue to grow and thrive and do the amazing work that they do. But because right now they're just sort of stuck in the grind of churning through compliance.
Well, they're stuck in the grind. They're also, it's not just always compliance that's really causing a lot of issues. I mean, you've got so much stuff coming at you. Even if you're just, if you move into some of these transformative apps, like say I do an online GL, like QBO, like Xero, like anything else, and now all of a sudden I'm connecting all of this stuff and everything's coming at me at the speed of light and I'm no longer doing data entry, I'm doing data review. And the speed at which all of these apps are changing, they're actually changing at a very quick rate. So I'm not only taking clients on fast, but my technology is changing fast and my people are getting overwhelmed. So where do you decide that there's going to be time to sit down and discuss the changes and how they're affecting everything? How do they affect your procedures? How do they affect your people? How do they affect your clients? How are they affecting your bottom line? Are you using some apps or paying for some apps you're not using? Are you finding that there are newer and better apps out there that can replace? Or are you finding, like, for instance, there are a lot of apps out there that are kind of merging. And if you're not keeping up, they're sending you, I don't know, my email is just getting worse and worse and worse, and I hate it. And it's like, don't send me any of your didn't you see our update in your email? I'm going, like I was trying to pay my mortgage the other 2 weeks ago, and I went, so let me pay it. What's there? So I call them up. They go, didn't you see the email we sent you? We sold that mortgage. We go, oh, fuck. So, well, luckily, I'm ahead of it. But there was a month ahead. I thought maybe they wouldn't let me pay a month ahead. That wasn't the problem. The problem was they had sent me an email.
And I think
what the fuck is spam? Jesus Christ. So I searched and searched and searched for it. And I couldn't find that email for the life of me. But I did figure out how to get it.
I was just going to say, which I think is it requires you to transform the way you do business in terms of the way that you integrate apps and into your workflow, into your team, into your training, and sort of the idea of not having an app champion, the idea of an app champion or the idea of that technologist 5-6 years ago was very foreign, maybe 10 years ago. Whereas now the firms that are really transforming, they have app champions, and it's their responsibility to go to the product update page to seek that out, to then advise the team. I know within your firm, you've got dedicated training every week. You've also got a culture where the team is constantly seeking out those updates with the apps and then sharing those updates via Slack to let people know what are the new things that I've found and what are the new things that are
to the product. We do that, but it's still a struggle. I mean, it's a constant. There has to be space given. One of the things is I've got 77 accountants over there.
Mm.
Accountants are like this. About a month ago, a client said, they asked their team leader, what can we do about getting more time? And they said, request it from Penny. And so I talked to her. She goes, how come I had to request this from you? I've had this before. And I go, you don't understand. They get like this, right? Just like you want an accountant to be. They're very focused. They're very focused. Mm. And they're not paying attention to changes. And so they're going to need me to tell them it's okay for them to change their work hours with you. Because right now they give you 4 hours, right? A day.
Yes.
So you're saying that you want 8. And if I don't tell them that that's what they do, they're going to like turn you off at 4 hours. You're going to get pissed. And it's going to take a conversation to fix that. So I'm telling you that I'm going to tell them this. This is how I'm going to approach it, da-da-da-da-da-da, so that you don't have that problem. Now, I know that we talked about we have a trainer on board and we do train, but I still see with these women who are very, very smart and know what they're doing, that they still get very focused that this is the way we've always done it. 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 And you sometimes have to slap them upside the head and go, no, it's different now. Did you not notice that change? Did you not notice how that app is different and behaving differently? No. Now go back and fix it, because you can put all the pieces into play, but we have to give them the space. So that's what that daily stand-up meeting is about. Is kind of like we do it once a week all together, but during the rest of the week, they have each team has its own stand-up with Namila and Shamila. And they go over in detail, has anything changed? Mm. Did you notice a change? They remind them to look for changes, because they know and I know that they're accountants and they're going to get like this. And they're always under the gun to get something done that was supposed to be done yesterday.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's hard. And it's hard to give that space to somebody. And it was really hard for Namila and Shamila to go, that's an hour out of our day that we have to take. And I go, it's either take this hour or look at what's happened in the last 4 months on some of the complaints we've had. And it's because you didn't take the hour. My mother once said to my brother, one night's pleasure is worth a lifetime of pain. Reverse that. Just anyways, they're great kids. I love these kids. But my mother's very old fashioned. This was a long, long time ago. So until 45 years ago. So, but it just, you can either take and dedicate an hour, even if it's an hour a week to start, and say, you know what, this is non-billable time or whatever, or you can live with this constant battle of trying to make life better. Because if you don't have a better life, you're not going to be able to hire this next generation.
No. And I think, again, if you go back to this idea of this term transformative, how do you enable a transformative culture in your firm? And how do you build buy-in for this idea of, we're going to transform our firm from this to that. And what are we going to do differently? We can all adopt transformative technology and utilize one piece of that technology in our workflow. But actually, how do we take that concept of transformative to really change the way we do business, the way we do work, the way we help our clients, the way we keep our team engaged. I think that's something that I think firm owners could carve out some space for them to really think about how do we take our business to be something that it is much more sustainable and can grow rather than just being reliant on me and I'll sort of turn the lights off when I'm ready to finish. I don't think practitioners, firm owners are thinking that way.
No, I don't. And part of it is that even they don't have the space and time in their life.
Yeah.
So you have to just say, look, if I don't take this time, if I don't do this, it's like going to the gym. If I don't do this, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. Well, one of the things I did is I started looking up, how do you transform? Well, first defining transformation and then using AI like Google's and go, okay, now add another word to it. And I found some pretty good articles on transformation on the finance of a company, on the financial division of a company. And we have this new person coming on board. It's our first male hire. Okay. And so what I'm going to do is I sent him several of these articles. He's so good. God, he's just really good. And he just gave me like several bullet points that, okay, this is what we're going to do on our next meeting with the team leaders. And he kind of like just bullet pointed it out. I was thinking we could add these bullet points to the notes in this YouTube. People can take with it what they want. I think Raj did a very amazing job on bullet pointing the things you can focus on when you want to acknowledge the transformation of your company and then make that transformation go across the board. So I'll just put those in the note.
Yeah, perfect. And I think that's, it's interesting. I was looking at those as we were preparing for our podcast. What I liked about it was looking at the finance function of a business, and what we are seeing is finance playing an increasingly important role, whereas previously that's sort of been in the back office as the number crunchers and the scorekeepers. Whereas actually the smart businesses are recognizing the role of finance to really help model out future states and then strategize on how to achieve those future states. And I think accounting firms can play that role absolutely for their clients, but it does require that change in perception. It does require go back to chapter one of the book, decide what you want to be when you grow up. You probably can't switch it off between January and April because you've got busy season. You do really have to transform the way you're thinking about your business. And again, I think we're sort of at this juncture, if you will, and you read a lot of the press out there and accounting has a bad rap and people aren't staying in accounting and blah, blah, blah. Doesn't have to be that way, because actually public accounting can play an incredibly important role in the success of business. But yeah, but it does require firm owners, firm employees to be quite brave and stick with that transformation. And it goes back to that our episode with Jan, and we talked about how long do you think we need to stick with this as transformation? And we sort of came at least 2 years. So I mean, like if you're not,
but don't wait 2 years to talk about it.
No. But you've got to give yourself that runway, if you will, to make that transformation. Obviously, but recognize that this is for the long term. And I think that's the other side of things as well. Is back in my receipt bank days, we promised the savings, and when people didn't the time savings, when people didn't necessarily realize those time savings within the first 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks of subscribing, they were ready to throw up their hands and go back to the way they'd always done it because that was quicker.
But did they ask the right questions of the right people?
No, we didn't either, and we didn't back to a lot of the things we talk about. We didn't encourage people to create the space. We didn't create the long term vision. We didn't redesign or re-engineer the process or flag early enough that we'd have to re-engineer the process. We tried to make Receipt Bank work with desktop, where I have a desktop plugin, and lo and behold, it's just not the same. So we tried to change, but now a little bit older, a little bit wiser, recognizing that it's about putting the goal, the objective, on the board for everyone to see, for everyone to buy into. And then how are we going to get there? And then what's your role in helping us make this transformation?
And everybody wants to know that they're adding whatever they're doing, whether it's the smallest thing of an allocation, that they're doing something for the good.
Yeah.
And it's worthwhile. And it's not just something that nobody pays attention to. Because don't get it allocated properly. Don't get the milkweed feeding that chrysalis. Guess what happens?
The knock-on effect is huge, but also don't have the community supporting
the growth, the transformation,
of the milkweed, then it's not going to happen either. So it's the very small things, but it's also that bigger picture and that bigger community involvement. Oh, Penny, this has been fascinating. I've really enjoyed stepping out of the, sometimes we get into the weeds of workflow and tasks and that type of stuff, but this has been an enjoyable conversation where we sort of stepped back a little bit to help listeners think about what does that word transform mean? You're seeing so much of it wherever you get your accounting news. And now it's hopefully listeners are thinking about, rather than transformative processes or transformative steps, actually embedding this idea of transformation into their firm so that they truly can make that lasting change and bring those and as we see in Leucadia, bring monarchs back from extinction or the brink of, and for your granddaughter to enjoy that site that is the monarchs emerging, hatching from their cocoons every spring. So
that was so cool.
Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah. All right. Cool. You have a good
Ladies and gentlemen, if you've enjoyed today's episode, do us a favor, write a review on Apple Podcasts if you are, or give us some 4 or 5 stars on Spotify.
Or on Spotify, because that's
on Spotify and Google Podcasts as well. We're there as well. And on YouTube, actually. Yeah. As I it's always a bit weird when people sort of stop you and be like, oh, I saw you on YouTube. And I'm like, what? Wait. And then I'm reminded that our podcast is also on YouTube. So, and if you have enjoyed today's episode, go back and listen to a couple of the other episodes that we've referenced as well, and please do share with your network. Would be greatly appreciative. Penny, always a pleasure. Look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, you got it, Mike.
Thanks, Penny.